Referring to the Insane Garden Furniture Fences and Accessories by Delivery City.
Bhagavad Gita is an incredible book of wisdom. You see, the Bhagavad Gita is a book of questions and answers, isn't it? From morning to evening, people are asking different questions. Just like we have Google, so you can ask Google any single question you want, isn't it? Nowadays, they say Google is God. Right, because seemingly Google can answer any question you have. But how deeply Google can give you the answers that you're looking for in a very personal way, that is yet to be seen. But when we open the Gita, we're not just reading a conversation of questions and answers which took place many, many thousands of years ago. But actually, we're reading the questions that sit within every single person's heart. Can you name me some question that you think goes through everyone's mind at some point in their life?
What's the purpose of life?
What's the purpose? Why are we here in the first place? What's the purpose of life? Yes, that goes through your heart. What else? What other kind of questions? Who am I? Yeah. Sometimes we wonder, like, who am I? They call it in the world an identity crisis. One time, recently, someone came to me and he said, "How old are you?" I said, 41. He said, "Okay, you're coming to the zone." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Midlife crisis." Because generally, when people reach about 42, 43... they start sometimes having a crisis of identity, like, who am I? What did I do my whole life? Where am I going? So yeah, identity crisis. What other questions come to people's minds? Yes.
Happen after death.
Yeah, what happens when we die? Because every day around us, people are dying, isn't it? Yamaraj, who's the god of death, he asked Yudhisthira, who was very wise, he said, "What's the most amazing thing in the world?" And you know what Yudhisthira's reply was? Ahani ahani bhutani gachanti ha yamalayam sheshastavanamichanti kimascharyam adaparam. Said, "What is the most amazing thing in the world?" Yudhisthira said, "Ahani ahani bhutani, every single day, people are dying. Shesha stavara michanti, but I think I'm going to live here forever. Kimascharyam adaparam, what can be more amazing than that?" Leo Tolstoy, he said, "I know that everyone has to die, but I was hoping an exception would be made in my case." No. The Chinese proverb says, whether you're the king, the queen, or the pawn, at the end of the game, everyone ends up in the box. Yeah. But is death the end? No. Death is not a full stop. Death is just a comma to the next. So yes, what happens after death? We are wondering, where is it? Where are those people who I loved who are no longer here? Are they still seeing me? Are they still somewhere? Will I meet them again? Yes. Who believes in soulmates? Yes, souls together, life after life. Does it exist? So many questions, isn't it? People have so many questions. Is there any other question that's on your mind?
What is worry doing?
Why do we suffer? Yes, thank you. People, the biggest question in the world is why do bad things happen to good people? And basically that means why do bad things happen to me? Because I'm a good person. Right? Everyone is wondering why? So much suffering in the world. Yes, someone at the back. I have a question?
What did you say?
The same question. Yes, these are the questions on people's minds. Who's God? Does God exist? Where's God when you need Him? Sometimes you come in front of Krishna and you think, it's okay for you, you're smiling, you're happy. What about me? What about me? What about my life, my problems? God really exists? Even we come to the temple, or we have our doubts, isn't it, if we're honest? Some days we think, Krishna, really? So many questions. So every question that we ask has already been asked. No one here came up with any new question that wasn't asked already. I'm still waiting. If you can, we'll give you a prize at the end. If you can come up with a question which hasn't already been asked, then we offer our congratulations to you. Because the Bhagavad Gita answers every single question before you've even asked it. It's already answers there. So, shall we read one of Arjun's questions and see whether you can relate to it? Are you ready? Let's just see, maybe, just maybe, you may be able to relate to Arjun's question. Maybe. Let's see. So this is chapter number 3, entitled Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is interesting. Spirituality is not about going to the forest. That doesn't mean you can't go to the park or you should go to nature. But spirituality doesn't mean to remove yourself from the world. Do you sometimes feel like running away from everything? You sometimes feel like, I just need to leave all of these people, leave this situation. I need some peace of mind. Yeah, you sometimes feel like that. Yeah. We can give you one of these and then you can take some. Yes, if you like, let us know. We got some spare ones lying around. You can walk away from it all. But generally, we are not, the spiritual path is not about walking away from the world. The spiritual path is about learning how to live in the world, but not be affected by the world. That's more powerful. So Krishna wants to teach Arjun how to do that. So then what he teaches him is something called Karma Yoga. Karma means action. You have to act. Karma. Karma, if you're from India. Karma. Right, I have to be careful because sometimes my London side comes out, sometimes my Indian side comes out. I'm a mixed up person. Karma Yoga, Karma Yoga, whatever, however you want to call it. Yoga means to connect, isn't it? Yuj is the Sanskrit root to connect. So Karma Yoga literally means how to connect every single one of your activities in life to God. That's amazing. You can be don't just be a mother, be a spiritual mother. Don't just be a businessman, be a spiritual businessman. You can, anything you do in life, you can connect it to the spiritual reality, and in that way, that activity frees you. So Karma Yoga is the science of how to act in this world in a spiritual way. But when we try to act in this world in a spiritual way, does it sometimes get complex? Isn't this world, it's a complex place, isn't it? Because it sounds easy on paper. Just connect it to Krishna. Sounds easy on paper. But then you go out, you have mortgages, you have bills, you have government regulations, you have so many things on your head. It's very difficult. And then you have temptations. Are there temptations in this world? Oscar Wilde, he was an English writer, he said, "I can resist everything except temptation." Interesting. So this is what Arjun asked Krishna now. Krishna is saying, "What were you? Why do you want to run away from the battlefield? You be in the battlefield and you be spiritual." So Krishna is making it sound very easy. Arjun is saying, hang on. There's some complexity. It's not so easy. So what does Arjun say? Arjuna uvacha atakena prayuktoyam papam chariti purusha anichan apivarshneya balad eva niyojitaha. Okay, I'll do the English because maybe you're a bit rusty on the Sanskrit. So this is the English translation. Arjun said, "O descendant of Rishni," that's another name for Krishna. "O Krishna, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force?" Relate to that? Even when you know you shouldn't do something, even when you know something will be bad for you, even when you know what you should do, why do we still do the wrong thing? I think so. It's something we're all going through. Purport. A living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme is originally spiritual, pure, and free from all material contaminations. Therefore, by nature, he is not subject to the sins of the material world. But when he is in contact with the material nature, he acts in many sinful ways without hesitation, and sometimes even against his will. As such, Arjuna's question to Krishna is very sanguine. Nice word, sanguine. As to the perverted nature of the living entities, although the living entity sometimes does not want to act in sin, he is still forced to act. Sinful actions are not, however, empowered by the super soul within, but are due to another cause, as the Lord explains in the next verse. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, do we have the experience in life that sometimes we know the right thing, but we keep doing the wrong thing? This is perhaps the story of our life. Can you give me an example in life of how someone may want to do the right thing, but somehow they just keep doing the wrong thing? Give me an example. Anything. Can be big, small, controversial, not. Yes.
Someone knows smoking cigarettes is harmless.
Excellent example. Yeah, someone knows smoking cigarettes is bad, but it's interesting if you look at cigarette packets. And you're looking at me thinking, why do you know so much about cigarette packets? It's interesting, when you look at cigarette packets 20 years ago, they used to have a sign, "Smoking may damage your health." Then later on, the message changed. "Smoking seriously damages your health." Then later on, the message changed. "Smoking kills." It's amazing how the message gets stronger and stronger, but the sales also get higher and higher. Think like, wow, we're supposed to be warning people here not to start to smoke. It's amazing. Someone can pick up a packet, read it, "Smoking kills," and in the very next moment, smoke a cigarette. Isn't that amazing? We just think, oh no, that's just life, that's just part of life. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. Something else?
Yes. Lies.
Yes. Do you know how many lies the human being says every single day? You don't want to know. You don't want to know. How many lies, big lies, small lies, lies about the future, lies about the past, lies which are outright wrong or lies which are withholding information that you know you should really tell someone, but I don't know. Lies, lies, lies. So many lies. World full of, even when we're trained to lie, actually. It's become inbuilt. Anything else that you do which you don't?
Giving money to traffic police when you cross the light.
Bill? This happens in Berlin?
In India, everything goes, Baba. In Berlin, if you do that, you'll get arrested. Don't do that here. Yeah, in India, oh my God.
In India, if you have money, you can get anything done. Anything. Yes, so many things we do. So many addictions in the world as well. People are smoking. Want to know the top 10 addictions? Smoking. Nicotine. Oh, sorry, that is smoking. Smoking, alcohol, narcotics, drugs. What is it else? Is it coffee? Yeah, coffee, gambling, social media, food. Yeah, food in general is also an addiction. Did you know also an addiction in the world today is work? Workaholic. And illicit things on the internet, pornography and so on and so forth. So many addictions in the world. So Arjun is asking a very, very important question. What is it that impels us to act in the wrong way even when we know the right thing to do? And so in the very next verse, Krishna says that there is an eternal enemy that each one of us are facing. What do you think the eternal enemy is of the living being? The mind, okay? And lust, yes. Lust is sitting in the mind. The mind is not bad per se. I met someone yesterday whose name was Suman, is it? Suman is here? Okay. So Suman means a beautiful mind. But for most of us, we are Kuman. Which means a not very good mind, because lust is sitting there. So what is lust? Lust is very, very interesting. It's said that all of us originally have love in our hearts, isn't it? Love is like the most natural thing to us. And the object of love is the Supreme Person, because we exist in a loving relationship with the Supreme. And then naturally, when we have that loving relationship with the Supreme, then we love everyone and everything. But as soon as we become disconnected from our loving relationship with the Supreme Person and we become independent, then what we try to do is satisfy our heart, but in a selfish way. It's very simple. Love is selfless. Lust is selfish. That's the difference between spiritual and material. Spiritual means selfless. Material means selfish. So then when we're trying to find happiness, when we're trying to find pleasure, when we're trying to find fulfillment in our lives, but separate from the divine, separate from the Supreme Person, then we are overcome by lust. Because every time we look at something, because we're unfulfilled in our heart, because we don't have love, loving relationship, then we try to fulfill that vacuum by exploiting things, by exploiting people, and by exploiting situations. Therefore, you find this world is basically a world of exploitation. When two people come together, they may say, yes, we are in love. But most of the time, actually, they're trying to exploit each other. They're trying to get something from each other. Because love means that you come together to selflessly serve others, to selflessly give to others. But nowadays we use the word love very, very cheaply. I loved that movie. Or I love, this type of food. No, you don't love this type of food. you lust for this type of food. I, for example, if someone says, I love to eat crabs. I love crabs. No, no, you don't love crabs. You like to eat crabs. And therefore, you take a crab, you take it out of the ocean, you kill it, and then you do all kinds of things, and then you eat it. And you say, I love crabs. Really? We do not love crabs. We like to eat crabs. It's lust, it's not love. So basically, we have this emptiness within our heart. Each of us have a certain amount of emptiness in our heart. And because we have an emptiness in our heart of love, then we try to fill it by lust. And therefore, what we end up doing is all of these things in the world that we know will not make us happy, but we still try to do it and get it because we need to fulfill the vacuum in our heart. So does it? Krishna begins to paint a picture and help us understand why we always succumb to temptation, because we have a vacuum in our hearts. Would you agree?
Yes, yes.
Some have a bigger vacuum, some have a smaller vacuum. But once you are fully connected with the Supreme in love, then there's no vacuum. And when there's no vacuum, then there's no lust. And when there's no lust, then you don't act in harmful ways. Please come forward. I don't know if there's any room. Soon they'll be here.
Maybe I should also go back. Sorry, I'm just going to have to make sure my phone's off.
Yes. So yes, we have to learn this art of not trying to enjoy the immediate and instead trying to wait and develop a deeper connection with the Supreme so we can fulfill our heart in a deeper way. Have you ever heard of the marshmallow experiment?
Yeah.
It's very famous. At Stanford University, they brought all these children together. And what they did to the children is they put them in a room and they said, here's what, you understand marshmallow, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yes, marshmallows. Remember those days? So they gave one marshmallow to each child. And they said, you have two options. Either you can eat the marshmallow now, or you can wait 15 minutes, and if you wait 15 minutes and you don't eat it, then in 15 minutes we'll give you another two.
What would you do?
Yeah, you think, yeah, obviously wait 15 minutes. But after about 7.5 minutes, you're kind of like, I don't know. Can I wait another 7.5 minutes? I mean, I could just have it now. Anyway, so some of the children just ate it within 15 minutes. And a small percentage of children waited. In other words, some children had the power of self-restraint. And then you know what they did? It's amazing, these scientists, they got like nothing better to do in their life. It's amazing. They caught up with these children like 20 years on in their life to see where they all ended up. And was there a correlation? Was there a correlation between all of those children who ate in the first 15 minutes and all of those who waited? Yes, there was a correlation. Because they found that those children that waited longer generally went on in their life to achieve much greater things. If you want to achieve something great in your life, you have to be able to give up the immediate temptation and embrace something that's going to be much better for you in the long term. If there's one line you go away from today remembering, remember this. Don't give up what you want most. for what feels good now. If there's one thing you remember, that guy was a boring guy. But if there's one thing, don't give up what you want most for what feels good now. Because if you're able to be a little patient, a little bit restrained, if you're able to resist temptation, if you're able to overcome the easy thing that you can do in that moment and say, no, there's something greater I have to do, then in your life you'll achieve amazing things. So Krishna says to Arjuna, the reason why you do something even when you don't want to do it is because you have lust. And the only way to overcome lust is to develop love. But to develop love, you have to restrain your lust. Oh no, that sounds like, it sounds like a catch 22, isn't it? You have lust because you don't have love. But to develop love, you have to control your lust. So it seems like that's so difficult, but you can do it. Because through intelligence, through different ways you can control your lust and give up this tendency to always give in to temptations. And so, let me quickly tell you four things you can do to give up temptation. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up and then we'll have a discussion. Is that okay? If you want to give up temptation, the first thing is conviction. You have to be convinced about the great thing that you're trying to achieve in your life. And when you're so convinced about the bigger goal that you have in your life, when the temptations appear which divert you from that goal, you won't give in to those temptations. But if you don't have something amazing that you're aiming for in this life, then you'll always give in to the temptation. So the first way to be immune from temptation is you have to be convinced about something much greater that you're aiming for. Why can boxers be so disciplined? Because they're convinced that I want to be the gold medalist. Why are they able to be so disciplined when they're in their studies? Because they're convinced, if I get my degree, then I'll be able to earn lots of money and I can enjoy even more. They're convinced. So are you convinced of the spiritual reality? Are you convinced of what it means and why it's so amazing to develop a relationship with Krishna, with God, with the divine? If you are, if you're fully convinced and inspired about that goal, when the temptations come, when the temptation to hit the snooze button appears at 4:30 or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock every morning, you'll say, no, I'm going to get up because I'm convinced about my goal. One devotee used to say to me, you want to know the distance between the material world to the spiritual world? I said, you can tell me the distance? He said, yes. The distance between the material world and the spiritual world is the distance between your sleeping bag and the bathroom when the alarm goes off in the morning. Because he said, if you can make that journey, you can make that journey. Discipline. So first thing is, you got to be convinced. Shall I tell you the second thing? If you want to overcome temptation, you have to be open. What do I mean by open? You have to have someone you can share your successes and failures with. You have to have someone you can be open with about your struggles. You have to be open with a friend who can give you advice when sometimes you give in to your temptations. You have to be open and honest and truthful about when you do fall prey to temptation. Because a problem shared is a problem solved. In English they say halved, but in Germany they're much more optimistic. Whether it's solved or whether it's halved, when you share a problem, when you share a struggle, then you get some strength. So always have friends that you can speak to.
You know, when you're struggling with different temptations.